Remembering names. Mm. Remembering names is a lot of fun. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. Remembering names is a wonderful gift. Ingeborg Persolio has a very wonderful talent at remembering names. She's always a very alert, awake, aware person, always doing beautiful things. And so we oftentimes call upon her for remembering names. And then she not only comes up with the name, but she comes up with the person, and she comes up with their business, and she comes up with their status, and what sort of a condition they've been in, and what sort of a marital affairs they had, and what sort of a life they've had. And before you know it, we've gotten more than we bargained for. All we wanted was the name. Because, oh, do you remember that person? Oh, yes, blah, blah, blah. Here's his life history. Thank you very much. But that's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift to have. However, a gift like that, held by a person who doesn't respect themselves, is not a very beneficial gift. And unfortunately, a lot of people who know a lot of things, who remember a lot of things, do not respect themselves. In other words, they do not feel that they are good people. They do not feel that they're wonderful people. They're wonderful people. Look at the memories they have. Look at all the genius they have in them. We want to experience the awareness of what a wonderful person we are, too. Because how nice to be able to recall all that information. It's all in the storehouse in our mind. And we want to have access to it and be aware of it. But, it's just nothing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to remember those things. It's wonderful to have that talent and that gift, you know, because it's all in everybody. But everybody doesn't choose to. Now, when you have the gift of remembering names, expand it. Expand it to the gift of remembering all knowledge. Now, for instance, you're going to give a talk. And your talk is a nice talk. You have written down your notes, and you have written down all the details of your talk, and you've got it pretty well organized the way you want it. Throw away the notes. Throw away the notes. If you hang on to the notes, you're going to depend on them, and you're going to give a lousy talk. But if you throw away the notes, then you must depend upon your own inner awareness, and you will speak beautifully. You will come up with things that you hadn't even thought about before. And you won't stumble over the words or over your own reading or over a quotation you've taken from somebody else. When you have made it yours and you are starting to share it, it's wonderful. It really is wonderful. We should believe in ourselves. When we believe in ourselves, we have wonderful things happening to us. That's part of what remembering names means. It's just sort of an indication to us that we do have a wonderful memory bank up there that we can refer to and have a great time. Now, there are times that Ingeborg has given talks, and you probably noticed I'm calling her Ingeborg now more than Inga, which is her favorite name, because I don't think of her as an Inga, who is a half a name. And I don't think of Dodie as a Dodie who is half a name. I think of it as Dorothea, which is a glorious name. Mm-hmm. If you remember our experiences at Locke's, we had all these people there, and we said, now, what is your name? And they gave all their silly little names, you know. And I said, is this who you really are? And then one young man, his name was Bobby. And I said, well, you mean your name is Robert? No, my name is Bobby. Well, what is your official name? Patrick Urs Stalder. Patrick, and Urs means bear. Patrick Bear Stalder. And I said, wow, what a glorious name. What a wonderful, Pat even isn't too bad, but Patrick Urs Stalder. I said, what a great name. And everybody was listening. And so he decided, I am Patrick Urs Stalder. what was he, 24 or something like that at the time? And so he decided he was going to be who he was. And I said, well, where'd you get the Bobby from? He said, well, my dad just gave it me as a love name, you know. Hey, Bobby, come here. Bobby, this, Bobby, that, you know. It's just a love name. And I said, well, that's very nice, too. But your real name, I mean, you're an adult now. You're not a child anymore. You're not a Bobby anymore. You are a Patrick Urs Stalder. You are a fabulous guy. And so he did his very best to change it at home. And his brothers wouldn't cooperate, and his father wouldn't cooperate, nobody would cooperate. He said, what can I do? I said, just don't respond to Bobby anymore. If you are Patrick, then respond only to Patrick. But they might offer me money. So what is the value of your name? What is the value? And so he had a deal going with his younger brother, Oliver. He said, now you call me Patrick, and I will do something for you, whatever it was, give him his, let him use his bike or something, you know. And so Oliver was the first one who said, Patrick, hey, Patrick, hey, Patrick, you know. And pretty soon his name rang throughout the house with his other two brothers and or brother and sisters and stuff. And Patrick, Patrick. And pretty soon his dad even started calling him that. But his father slid back into the Bobby, which had been the familiar word. But remembering names is a lovely gift. And remembering your own name is even a lovelier gift. Now, Dorothea was saying that if she went by Dorothea, her friends would say, who the heck is that? And you just say, well, I just thought it was time that I grow up. And I leave behind me the childish ways of Dodie and that little diminutive love snuggle name, you know. And I am now Dorothea. I am now the queen. I am now the princess, Dorothea Ruth. And so it's a DRZ, you know. And it's not dead on arrival, you know. But it's, or drunk, what is it?
DUI.
DUI. You know about those. It's not a DUI, but or dead on arrival. D-O-R. D-O-A. Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. So, those are not the things that you are. The things that you are divine. And remembering names is like that. Now, Ellen and I had a long talk about her names. And in no time did I ever tell her names were bad. But I did say to Ellen one thing, and that perhaps helped her make her decision. I said, you have given yourself all these names in the beginning because they were parts of your personality that you're developing. And now, if you choose to discard these names, you are discarding part of your personality that you should be developing, or you could be developing in this lifetime, and having it beautiful. Now, some of the names she has discarded are absolutely fabulous. They're magnificent names of royalty and dignity and honor. Others are love names and so forth, but remembering names is something for us to really think about. It's something for us to really think about. I have tried to demonstrate to you my obscurity, you might say, by just having a sort of a two lines and another line running horizontal for H. Byerly, you know. And my name is not important, but you say, Herbert Leonard Byerly, Dean of the University, Doctor, PhD, you know, THD, DD, you name it. It's a bunch of D's and dumb stuff. But what matters is the person. Now, when you hear me use a swear word, or when you hear me speak roughly or unkindly to anyone, you think, oh my, that's not a man of class. That's not a man of dignity. That's not, no, a man of class and a man of dignity are not a teacher, I assure you. A man of class and a man of dignity are not a teacher. Because a teacher has to get the attention sometimes of the students. Now, if I don't care whether I get your attention or not, I won't get your attention. I will just live in my own life, do my own thing, and be so delightfully happy. But because I'm a teacher, I must get your attention. And you've all heard the story about the donkey, haven't you? The donkey and the 2x4? You didn't hear that, did you? Well, there's a farmer who had a donkey pulling a load, and he was pulling the wagon, and all of a sudden the donkey sat down. And he was not about to go anywhere. And the farmer was tugging on the rope and said, "Come on, let's go, come on." The donkey just sat there. And so another farmer came along and said, "Well, John, what seems to be the problem?" "Henry, my donkey will not get up and go." "Well, John, you haven't learned how to motivate a donkey?" "Well, Henry, how do you motivate a donkey? I have had this donkey for a long time, and occasionally when he sits down, he just sits down and he sits down." "Well, come on, John, let me show you." And he walked to a nearby fence, and he took one of the poles that hold up the fence, a big 2x4 type of thing, and he brought it back to the donkey. And he said to the donkey, "Rise." And the donkey sat there. So he took the pole and clucked the donkey on the top of the head. The donkey stood up and started pulling the wagon perfectly and beautifully. And John says, "Why did you hit the donkey? That's not very nice." And Henry said, "Well, I had to get his attention. I had to get his attention." And sometimes that's what we have to do with another person. In big business meetings where there is a chairman of the board, the chairman of the board takes out his 6 guns and shoots them up, bang, 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 and gets everybody's attention, doesn't he? No. The chairman of the board sits there and says nothing and waits for the group to quiet down. He's patient. And when the group quiets down, he says, "I have made my decision. We are adjourned." Now, if the group were to turn to him and say to him, "Whatever your decision is, we want to cooperate with you to carry it out," he would say to them, "My decision is this." But since they felt that their conversation, their noise, their thinking was far more important than what his thinking was, even with him being present, then they didn't deserve to know what his thinking was. A teacher can go into a classroom and she can tell the classroom how much she loves them and how much she respects them and how much she honors them. And by every action she does, she shows it. And the students are just adoring her. Another teacher with the same grade class, the same element, same school district, the same neighborhood, goes into the room, and the room is just totally bedlam. The kids are screaming and hollering and shouting, and she walks to her desk, and they're still screaming and hollering. And she stands beside her desk and says, "Shut up, and shouts to the kids, and then the kids shout louder at her, you know, as though they don't even hear her. And she says, "I'm going to go to the principal if you don't be quiet now." And then they begin to quiet down a little. They know she's serious now. Well, you have the good teacher who can come in and gather attention. I'm apparently not the good teacher because you don't respect me. You don't become quiet when I come in the room. And you don't stop and listen to me when I'm talking. So apparently I'm not a very good teacher. But if I were a good teacher, I wouldn't have to get your attention. I wouldn't have to pull out a 2x4. And think about it. Think about it. You see, you have to remember what the role is that each of us is playing. And this is not a playground. This is not a place where you can have your own way. This is not a place where everything is not significant. Everything is significant here. Everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we say. And if anybody says to me, I want that, I say, take it. And what do they do with it? What do they do with it? They lose its parts, and then they say it doesn't work. That's true. They lose its parts because they demanded it. It's not that they were ready for it and received it. It's that they demand, I want the big car. I want to drive this. I want to do that. I want to do... People would give their eye teeth to be able to drive a beautiful Windstar like we have, a beautiful pickup truck like we have, always maintained perfectly. But because we have the bigger cars here, the Expedition, people want to drive that. And I told Ellen, there's no decision. No one drives that except she and I or Stefan, depending on who is in charge. Only the ones in charge drive that. And they have been working perfectly with almost no repair being required since 1999, doing just wonderful. You notice that? Now, the Windstar has had a lot of repair. Not too terribly much, but a lot. And the truck has had a little bit. But the thing is, we have always been very careful making sure everything is in top drawer. And because of that, its maintenance has been very small, and its operational ability has been very big. Just beautiful. Now, what has that got to do with remembering names? Well, let's just say, let's remember the name of who we are, what we are, and what we're doing in life. Are you in school?
Yes. Yes.
Is everyone who listens to this in school?
Yes. Yeah.
Do we want to be in school?
Yes.
And what do we want to learn?
Why? The utmost.
We want to learn to be our divine self. What we want to learn is to be ourself and have fun. And that is one of the most difficult jobs in the entire world, because we have been taught that that's not the thing we want to learn. Our parents have taught us, life is not a bowl of cherries, you know that. Life is not a bed of roses, my God, no, you know. Life is a bed of roses. Life is a bowl of cherries. And when you learn to lie on a bed of nails, you will soon learn that nails and thorns hold nothing for you. When you learn to sleep on the floor, on the carpet direct without any clothing on, you'll find out that you will not have any wrinkles in your body from the knobs of the carpet. Whereas otherwise you do, because you think it's there. You see, we are so accustomed to thinking there are certain things that are normal to do, that we have let them possess us. And when they possess us, then we are very unhappy. So let's wake up and let's remember to smell the roses. Let's remember that the thorns on the roses are not to prick us. They're merely to remind us that we belong with the roses, not the thorns. So, remembering names, remember the roses and not the thorns. When you remember Toastmasters, remember the beautiful people, not the people with problems. If you let the people's problems go and remember the people, that's glorious. But don't remember the people with their problems. Don't remember the blind man. Don't remember the people who couldn't speak English, who couldn't learn to be good Americans, but who finally did, and they became exquisite. And if you remember them in their learning stage, in their becoming stage, you remember them incomplete, and you remember yourself incomplete. So, remembering names, it's a big facet. So I turn to you and I say, believe in yourself. Remember who you are, what you're doing here. And when you don't need the campus, the university, the monastery anymore, then go out and do your own thing. When you're doing your own thing, if you're not doing it the way you learned it here, you're not going to be happy. You know that some people who have left here, they're not happy. And they're not happy because they're not living what they learned. And we could go right down the line with the unhappy ones, and we could go down the line with the happy ones too. Because we do have happy ones, and a lot of them. And they're happy as they live what they learned. So, remembering faces, remembering names, remembering everything is lots of fun. And I love you more than life itself.
I love you too.
I love you.